about the Messi thing.
Anything else on the Messi front, Chris, before we move on?
No, I'm done. I'm done.
I'm falling out. I told you, I never want to bring this guy's name up again.
I don't know, man. This Messi thing is just a freaking mess. What a disaster.
I don't want to hear this name ever again until it's official. But they got me back.
No question about it. I am ready to get hurt again.
Chris, the Herons are back. Welcome, everybody, to episode number 177 of the Battle Herons podcast. I am your host, Daniel Granada, and alongside me, as always, Mr. KBD. How are you doing, sir?
Well, I could have been better if I would have been in Boston. That would have been number one.
That would have been a good game to go to. Yes, sir.
And this is the best news of all time. Mr. Krabs saying the biggest W is nobody got injured playing on turf, except one of the Carlos Hill guys. One of the Hill guys.
Nacho Hills. Non-contact injury.
I got an opinion on these Hill guys, these fucking clowns, but we'll reserve that for the rest.
I'm not sure what did they do?
They're just fucking babies. Like, they complain all the time. Like,
that's a little soccer player.
Get over it. No, but they're like extra. They're extra, man.
I'm sure people feel like that about our players.
No, extra.
All right. Well, we won. And I feel like when Messi plays, we win. So it feels like it's almost it's awesome. It's awesome. And as usual, we give up an early goal. And I have a couple stats here about those goals that we'll go over in a little bit. But we gave up a goal. This is the quickest one we've given up all season. Before the minute mark, it was 39, 40 seconds. And it was a bad pass by Freire, which gave it right to the MVP or former MVP of the league, which gave a beautiful through pass or lob pass to, I forgot the guy's name. And, I mean, honestly, that was really on Drake. He was kind of caught in no man's land. Big he time. Ran out, got out of position for absolutely no reason. And if he stays and doesn't come out, that's an easy save.
Clean sheet.
He probably doesn't even take the shot. That was the only shot they had on goal or the only shot they had, period, in the first half. So, go ahead.
No, I mean, I was just going to say, like, I don't know what it is, but Callender's been playing awful the last couple games. Like, I mean, he's making pretty good saves, but as far as, like, up here where he's trying to put himself in positions where he shouldn't be in, and then his feet, I mean, geez, man.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was. But outside of that, which is a huge mistake, right? Because he ended up giving up a goal. But outside of that, like, everybody had a pretty good game. Freire, that was a bad turnover to start the game. Yeah. And then Drake got caught in no man's land. Yeah. I mean, we usually go in order. Campana, but off the top of my head,
Campana played the worst. I mean, you don't know how to make a pass with your right foot. There's a problem. Like, his right foot is not operational.
You know what makes Campana look worse, like, than anything else? The fact that Luis Suarez comes in, and all of a sudden, we just start raining on everybody.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's immediate. Immediately, yeah. He makes a difference. And that makes Campana look even worse, because he got his opportunity to play next to Messi. He got, 75 minutes with Messi almost? Like, that right there is, I think, the worst part of it.
Hold on. There's a comment here that CJC is bringing up, and thank you for the super slam here, CJC. He says, fun fact, Messi has scored in every minute of regular time except for the first minute of a game. Let that sink in about how stupid that goal was by New England.
Well, and I don't know if you guys were watching or even if you remember, Chris, but one of my bold predictions before the season started was that he would eventually score in that first minute, because that is the only minute he's never scored in his career.
Yeah.
So that was one of my bold predictions. It hasn't happened yet, but hopefully it happens.
Hopefully somebody can come up with like a YouTube video of 90 minutes
of every minute that he's
of every minute that he's ever scored. That would be cool.
Before we get to the starting lineups, would you like to hear some stats?
Sure. Go ahead and hit me with some fun facts, buddy.
Here we go. All right. So everybody knows we give up goals early, right? That's just what we do. So here we go. We've given up 9 first half goals. Okay, 9. In the first 15 minutes of those 9, we've given up 7. So we've given up 9 goals in the first half. 7 of those have been in the first 15 minutes. And then I will make it even better. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Those 7, 5 of those were in the first 6 minutes.
Oh, that's brutal.
We've given up 5 goals in the first 6 minutes of games. But the bright side is that after the first 6 minutes, we've only given up 4 goals in the rest of the time in the first halves. And 2 after the first 15 minutes. So once you kind of like calm down, obviously we get a lot more settled. But teams go ahead and they press us. They force us into mistakes early. And it's just, I don't know. It just kills me. It kills me.
Well, and the thing is, this score today, right, that we got scored on, I guess we'll cover it in the beginning after we finish the starting lineup, but do you think that was an issue in terms of because of the press? Or
No, that was just a bad turnover.
It was just a bad turnover and a bad goalkeeping job.
Yeah, because New England, we knew that there was a good chance. We both predicted a clean sheet because they're just not a good team. Offensively, they just cannot score. So even though we are bad defensively, we figured even this bad team, we can go ahead and get a clean sheet on. And if it wasn't for that horrible mistake by Freire and more than anything Drake, they didn't have a shot outside of that in the first half. So we should have gotten a clean sheet. So now that somebody said I was on stat mode, I'm going to keep going.
And look at these stats. Rohan.
Go ahead.
Rohan with the best stats. 250 watching, not even 50 likes. There's stats for you. Go ahead, Danny.
All right. In the first 10 minutes of the second half, we've given up 4 goals. So it's like we come out of the locker room and we're just not ready. I don't know. Do we need to warm up since we're a little older? Got to get a little WD-40 in those legs. Something happens in the first bit of that time. And then before we get into the game, I was like, you know what? I kind of want to see how our offense is minute by minute. Where do we score the majority of our goals? So I looked.
It's got to be between 20 and like 30 minutes.
I'm going by 15-minute margins. The majority of our goals come after the 76th minute. We have 9 goals after the 76th minute. Now, remember I told you that we had, what was it, 6 goals? No, 5 goals in the first 6 minutes?
Yeah.
We've scored 7 goals in the last 7 minutes of the game, plus stoppage time.
Oh, so like we really seven don't give goals. A so we really don't give a shit about getting scored on early because we're coming at the end.
No, actually, if you look at it, we're pretty spread out. We have 5 goals in the first 15, 4 goals, 16 to 30, 3 goals, 31 to 45, and then 5 goals, 46 to 60, 6 goals, 61 to 75, and then 9 goals, 76 to 90, plus stoppage time. But 7 goals in the last 7 minutes. So this team is never out of it because we score late. So.
So from 60 to 90, we're pretty fucking dangerous.
Yes, 60 to 90, 15 goals.
So, 60 to 90, that's a dangerous time because you're talking about playing the opponent who's exhausted.
Yeah. So I just wanted to put those numbers out there that I was kind of curious about. And so we 5 goals in the first 6 minutes, but we've scored 7 goals in the last 7 minutes. So there you go.
All right. Looks like we're going to get our fucking croqueta plate.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's the summertime that has everybody doubting it, right? Because we all said the chances of us getting the supporter shield are slim to none. Because of the summer, where we're going to be missing a bulk of our team, most importantly, Messi. But we have to keep building these 3-point wins until that time comes, and that's what we're doing. We're taking care of business. So we can start at the beginning now, Chris.
Yeah, let's do it. I didn't save the starting lineup. I imagine you did.
I put it up. Yeah.
I'll go ahead and I'll bring it up. And there it is, guys. For those of you on audio, there's a starting 11, obviously, calendar. In between the sticks, you got Aviles. Well, I'm gonna name it down through the list: Busquets, Aviles, Campana, Messi, Taylor, Freire, and then you got Gressel, Negri, Ruiz, and then Weigand. And then on the bench, we got Dos Santos, Saylor, Allen, Sunderland, Bright, Kremaki, Rojas, with his debut, Afonso, and Suarez. Now, I'm getting really tired of this. But I'm happy that they finally played four in the back. But I'm getting really tired of this like little lineup thing that Inter Miami's doing. I'm really tired of this.
Oh, but that's I was looking because
they do other, it for away games, I think.
No, they do it always now. Like once we started yelling everybody about the starting formation, I think they just started like, you guys figure it out. F you guys. But I started looking because we started following so many other teams, right? Because of guests we have, yeah. We follow their pages and whatnot. They usually post
it's
these.
Typical.
And I started noticing a lot of teams do this. Most teams don't put the starting formation. They kind of just list out the starters.
And then Alejandro with a 499 super slam. If Tata didn't sub Campana and Gressel, I was going to break my TV. I think we're going to have some stuff to talk about Campana and Gressel. Probably more Campana than Gressel, but...
Gressel to me.
Well, we'll get into it. So just looking at the starting lineup, right? Mm-hmm. Looking at it was already beautiful because you got your starting, you got your four in the back. And what'd you think of this starting lineup? I mean, we got Taylor back, right? Goal contribution awesome. Right there. Awesome. We got Campana. Yeah, we got Campana back. So what'd you think of this? What'd you think of this starting lineup when you first saw it?
I liked it. I'm hoping. And look, I love David Ruiz. And I would say take out Gressel and I want to see Cremaki starting, right? Give me Bankran, give me Cremita. I want him over Gressel. But because I know that that's not going to happen, because of Tata's obsession with Gressel, maybe he likes his podcast, whatever it is, he just loves Gressel, then I kind of want to see Cremaki over Ruiz. I want to see Cremaki on the pitch more often, honestly.
This is uncalled for, Phil Lav. I do not agree with this. Ruiz is non-existent. I mean, there's a lot of people that are non-existent. He is not one of them.
Today he wasn't. It wasn't his best game today. Now this, I take offense to.
And
that is uncalled for, Nicolas Rodriguez.
Negri over Allen. That is bashing at its finest.
That is blasphemy.
Yeah. So when I saw this starting lineup, Danny, I was turned on. You got four in the back. And then Trucutu's mentioning Ruiz didn't get a yellow card improvement. That is absolutely correct. He didn't get the Gregory treatment.
Real quick, I believe David Ruiz has four yellows already.
Yeah.
So he might have that in mind. And that might be why we're not noticing him as much, because he's playing a little softer. Because if he gets another yellow, he's suspended for a game. Same thing with Aviles. So maybe they're playing with that in the back of the head. If I get another yellow, I'm suspended next game. Maybe that's playing into the fact that he's not being as aggressive defensively. Maybe we're not seeing him, not getting those yellow cards. So maybe that has something to do with it.
And you know what I think also? I also think that because they were playing on turf, they didn't go as hard in the paint like they usually do, because of the simple fact that so many people get injured off of non-contact injuries and just digging their foot.
Yeah. Natural heal. That was non-contact. I wouldn't be surprised if we find out that he tore his ACL today.
Oh, my goodness. That would be a disaster.
Look, it's with those turf fields and the non-contact injuries, it's your ACL or your Achilles. It's one of the two. That always happens.
What a bad one. Yeah. I like the starting lineup, Danny. I love seeing Taylor back. I liked seeing Campana finally getting the start, right? And we're looking at this, obviously, from the beginning of the game. I'm not giving you any sort of idea as far as during the game. But before the game started, I'm like, okay, Campana's got his start. Coming back from injury, I thought it was great. And then Mr. Krabs says, Chris Domino's table is gone. The Abuelo in Little Havana needed it back. Yes, I went back to Calle Ocho, and I actually played an Abuelo for my table. And because they have 80 years of Domino's experience, I completely lost it.
Cuckers 420 says, I think the turf thing is overblown. I mean, you watched a player go down with a non-contact injury literally today. Like, it happened literally during this game. It happens on that pitch all the time.
It's like, not overblown.
If people are constantly bringing it up that it happens, and you literally, if you watch the game, there was a player that literally went down with a non-contact injury, how can you say it's overblown? It happens. Luckily for us, it wasn't one of our guys. It has been. Last year, it was one of our guys. This happens all the time on that pitch. So I don't think it's overblown at all.
It's not. It's a real thing.
Yeah.
It's a real thing.
Yeah.
But I liked it. I liked the starting lineup, Danny. I really, really thought that it was going to be great starting off, and I was looking forward to the starting lineup finally. Four in the back. So let's go. Starting to talk about the game. Well, go ahead, Danny.
Were you surprised that Luis Suarez was going to play?
I was surprised.
I thought Messi was going to play. I didn't think Suarez was going to play.
I thought Messi was going to play just because, like, it's Messi.
And the 60,000 or whatnot.
I didn't think that Suarez was going to play because I thought that maybe they'd work in Campana and Borjalin half and half. Maybe Afonso too, because Afonso, you've seen that he's been playing a little higher as well. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I thought that it was going to be like a 2-3-man rotation up at the top. But hey, look, man, thankfully he played.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, obviously he was the difference maker. He was involved in all four goals, wasn't he?
He was. And then also somebody had mentioned here in the chat, Eden is saying that Borjalin is hurt. So maybe that's why he had the play, I guess. I mean, even though we got Afonso and then Campana starting, It's actually a surprise. I mean, one thing I was surprised about was Busquets playing the whole game. Now, obviously, we're talking about the starting 11, not during the game, but that's something that sort of stood out to me as well.
Well, I really thought that Messi would come in as a sub. Glad he didn't get injured. It all worked out. We don't have to play there again until next year, so it doesn't matter. But I really thought that Messi would come on as a sub. He started. At that point, I said, just get out of here without an injury. I don't care if we win or lose. But we won. We dominated after a lackadaisical start. But, you know, everything's good now.
Well, and this is just to foreshadow in the future for those of you that are looking forward. The next week, Red Bulls lost and also got a red card to a key defender, which means that we're going to score 74 goals next game.
Look, the Red Bulls are a legit team.
Yes,
a legit
they are.
Team this year. So it's definitely a fun game that we got looking forward to next Saturday.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, look, the game started, right? Everybody's excited. First 20, 30 seconds, and all of a sudden, it goes boom, right? You have the turnover by Freire, and then all of a sudden, and then you see that you got Callander coming up, because you see the overpass, right? You see the lob pass, and I'm like, oh, man, this is going outside the box. What the hell is Callander doing? And totally, totally misplayed the whole play. And then you had Freire basically screaming at him, like, what are you doing, my guy? My boy, like, you're not a center back. You're not a left back. Get back here, buddy. Completely fumbled within the first minute. Now, mind you, again, Callander's been making some boneheaded plays lately, which isn't really too much like him, but it's bad. He's been caught in some very weird situations.
Well, I think we've been defending him more than just about anybody, right? Because people like Tank and everybody have, not everybody, but a lot of people have been kind of turning on Drake. Like, you know what?
Yeah.
This is getting kind of, but I'm starting to, like, it's hard to defend him when he keeps making these mistakes. When you're trying to win a championship, you can't make these mistakes anymore. You know, he had that League's Cup run last year where we won a title. But at this point, like, it's one too many. So you can't make these mistakes anymore. And just real quick, somebody had said that the Red Bulls lost. They did not. They had a draw against the Vancouver Whitecaps, but there was a red card to one of their defenders, Noah Ellie, I think is his name. So it was a draw, not a loss.
So Adam Andrews is chiming in the chat. It's because Tata is in his head about playing with his feet. It could also be because we don't have Yedlin. It could also be because he's getting married.
Yeah, but that goal today didn't make sense to me. Like, what did he think? He knew he wasn't going to get to the ball before the offensive player got to it. So what was he thinking? Did he think that this guy was going to stop running after the ball? Like, I'm not sure what he was doing out there.
Well, I think that he was assuming it was going to stay within the box. He'd be able to catch it and play it. But then the way that the pass was made, it looks like it was curving away from the box. So Tank is mentioning, saying, I've never flipped on him until now. I'm tired of being mad at him. He needs everyone's support. It has to be nerves. I don't know, man, because Callender is a...
Look at Tank.
Yeah, I like the accountability there, Tank. I don't see Callender as like this nervous guy. I mean, you could tell that he made an errant pass later on in the game, and he was just super mad at himself. But I don't see him as a nervous player. I don't. But I think that, and he's very athletic, by the way. But I think that the choices he's making, in terms of like taking himself out in between the sticks, it's not the right play some of the times. It's completely exposing everything around there because the defenders, they don't know what the hell to do.
Mm-hmm.
So. And then the worst part is, Danny, I've realized in soccer and football that the backup goalkeeper gets the backup quarterback treatment now.
Mm-hmm.
They literally get the backup quarterback treatment. CJ Dos Santos is like the star in everybody's eyes. They're like, I gotta see this guy play.
I don't think so. I don't think people think that.
Oh, my God. Everybody is dying for Dos Santos to get his crack.
All right. After that first goal, were you at all nervous that we might not win the game? No, me either. I thought we would still win. When I look back at those goals that I told you, that the five that we gave up in the first 6 minutes, only one of those ended up in a loss, which was the Red Bulls game. Let me just double check. Yeah, the Red Bulls, where they scored in the first 3 minutes. Other than that, we've either drawn or won the game. So...
yeah.
I did not feel nervous at all about giving up that goal. And I mean, it sucks, but you kind of just felt nervous. You kind of felt confident that we would come back and win anyway. Like, you score in the first minute. Good luck playing a low block for the next 90 minutes against us, because we're going to score. So, I wasn't nervous either.
And 88 Hailing is saying, open your eyes. De Gea is a god compared to Drake. I don't know why we're talking about De Gea.
I don't think that he has even an option.
Yeah. Well, all I know is that I wasn't nervous after that goal. We're talking about within the first minute. Mm-hmm. We've been in worse situations.
Yep.
I mean, at that point, I'm thinking to myself, all right, whatever. We got scored on. Big whoop-de-doo. Big error, right? Like, if we were scored on because they made like a fantastical offensive play, then I would have been a little nervous. But you're talking about off of a very bad pass turnover and off of a very bad decision off of our goalie. I'm okay with that. I'll eat that.
And they did nothing else the rest of the first half. Literally, that was the only shot they had the first half. That was it. And it felt like they wanted to be aggressive at first a little bit. Now, we also have to mention, we can't forget to mention, the fact that they were undermanned. Not only are they the worst team in MLS, but I think it was
everybody like
four of their starters were missing because they had like flu-like symptoms or something. So they were also undermanned, which gave me even more confidence. But they tried to be aggressive a little bit at first. But that very first time that Negri went down the touchline on the left side and crossed it in, like the 16, 17th minute mark, they're like, you know what?
We got
you. Let's play this low block. And then it felt like they just like retreated, and it was just low block, and it's like, hey, just try to break us down. And then at that point, you kind of just felt like, so I saw some people on Twitter were like, what is Inter Miami doing? They're playing just this tiki taka crap, and they're not really trying anything out. It's when somebody's playing a low block, it's not easy to break down, even if you have Messi. Like, they're just buckling down and like, good luck, try to beat us over the top or something.
So
it definitely wasn't easy, and I felt like once we finally got that first crossing from Negri to the center, and it didn't create a chance, but they saw we got there. Then they just came in that low block, and it was just time for us to figure out how to break it down. And it finally happened. What was it? Their 32nd minute?
Yeah, well, it was the 32nd minute on that goal which I believe it was the Robert Taylor assist. No?
Yes, which is a beautiful pass.
Oh, my God. Like, beautiful. If you guys pass. Are still going to hate
Nobody hates on Robert Taylor.
You guys need to understand that Robert Taylor is like an intricate player in this team. Like, he is so important. You guys really don't understand. the fact that we were missing him. Yeah.
I love Robert Taylor, but I think that if Facundo Farias didn't get injured, he would have been starting over Robert Taylor. And I will also tell you, and I know we're probably going to get into talking about him maybe a little later, or you can do it now if you want. But Matias Rojas, we didn't see much of him. But you can see that he might have, he has that Paraguayan motor that Diego Gomez has.
Oh, my God.
I have a feeling that if he starts playing well, you know, and I mean, Robert Taylor, I love Robert Taylor. I hope he starts forever. But, you know, Tata might have, you know, we'll see. He will see. Matias Rojas, in the little bit that he was the one that made that last goal with that effort. Was it the last goal, I believe? Or no, the second to last?
It was the second to last goal off of that effort, which that was just like, it literally looked like Diego Gomez like blew out of like a portal with a sliding tackle. I saw that. I'm like, ooh.
Paraguay.
I mean, we'll get to that in a little bit. Let's let Robert Taylor bask in the glory.
Oh, okay. That's right. All right.
I mean, it's already bad enough.
I'm gonna make one of these shirts for Robert Taylor. I've been saying I'm gonna do it. But the thing is, I've always thought like, this guy's gonna get traded away or something at some point. So I've never made it. I'm just gonna make a Robert Taylor.
You got one for fucking Rodolfo Pizarro.
No, I don't. I do have
that's right. You do have. You have a piece. Well, but that's a critical thing. It was the first goal. But
yeah, it's the first goal of the franchise history. Yeah.
But listen, Robert Taylor, like, guys, let him bask in the glory. All you OGs of this team, the moment that this guy, Matias, starts taking over and then Farias comes over, like, he's on a fucking plane to Germany. And you guys are going to get so mad.
Everybody's out of game at too. I love Robert Taylor.
Well, and Sounds is saying that Messi is happy with him, even though he did get upset at him for like not centering a pass in the middle of the box. But like, I mean, look at how he received the pass, unless he would have just taken it off the foot instead of the chest.
Yeah, I also wasn't sure how he wanted him to do. Maybe he will go back and watch the tape and see that it wasn't as easy of him.
He wanted him to first touch it to him, and then Messi would just come through and just swanton bomb it to the back of the goal. But for the most part, like, that was a beautiful pass by Robert Taylor into Messi. At that point, I'm like, you need to fucking – I was thinking of New England, you're fucking cooked. You're cooked.
Well, I will tell you that after that first goal by Messi, Robert Taylor made that pass.
Yeah.
I want to say maybe like a minute later, Robert Taylor gets the ball – back left touchline, and then just starts just floating into the midfield. And I just saw like a nice, beautiful like space open up where I thought he was going to pass it to Messi, and Messi was going to be able to one time it. Mm-hmm. And then instead of giving it to Messi, Robert Taylor goes, you know what? I think I got a shot for a beautiful VAR. A beautiful one. He went Mota on it.
Yeah.
And he tried to. And he sailed it. And I right away I looked at Messi. I was like, oh, is Messi gonna get upset? But he did it.
He didn't get upset. No. And then on top of that, he usually is very, because you know that he does that from the left side of the box. He sort of like hits it in towards the middle, does his little kicker, and I'm doing the La Voz movement. I love when Xavier does the hand gestures, like the boom, bam. I love that shit. But he'll hit it, boom, perfect, and then just have it curl. But he must have not had the good foot placement where he was able to get that curve in. And unfortunately, he just motored it. So,
well, I think you can't get mad at Robert Taylor for something like that because he's made those often. So he can. It's not like you have John Mota taking that shot, because if John Mota's taking that shot, then forget about it.
And BR1 is asking, can y'all make it so you can ship to Norway? I need that Creme Papi shirt.
Hit me up through Twitter and I'll figure out how I can get you something to Norway.
Yeah.
At battered herons on Twitter. Hit me up. Yes. Send me a direct message. I've never shipped to Norway, so I have to see how that works. That was a beaut. And something else that I believe happened in the first half, and I'm sure the chat will correct me if I'm wrong. There was a corner and Messi placed it so perfectly on Gressel's head. Nobody around Gressel and Gressel, he looked like my son when I'm practicing headers with him. No sense of direction. It was just like, I'm supposed to head it. So as long as my head touches the ball, I did my job. No sense of direction. And I, all I thought was, what does Gressel do? And by the way, he did have a beautiful cross. He was on the right touchline. And then he had this cross where as he's moving, he hits Robert Taylor on the left side as he's running up the pitch, which was a beautiful cross. But outside of those crosses, Gressel frustrates the hell out of me. He can't finish. He turns the ball over often in the midfield. Like, am I the only one that's frustrated by seeing Gressel out there consistently? And he is the only player that's played literally every game this year.
Much appreciated to you guys saying that we're blowing up like New England's defense did tonight, because they definitely did blow up. The thing about Gressel that I noticed is that he tries to get a little too cutesy-wootsy with, like, he thinks he's like a Barca boy for some reason. I guess he's because he's got the in with Tata just from a different angle that he feels like he's in this little clique. But they're like, look, we don't really care about you, buddy. We just want you to cross the ball whenever you get the chance. No way, Skyler. You think Messi likes Gressel?
I think Messi likes most of his teammates. And Mr. Krabs, I wasn't even aware of this. I'm going to have to check that out.
Wow.
But for those of you that didn't, apparently our most watched video is the MLS Explained Part 1. We explained, for those of you that are new to MLS, we did a video where we explained all the rules and regulations and all that stuff for those of you that aren't used to it. I wasn't aware of that. Look, I think that Gressel frustrates me. I think he is best when he is playing in place of Messi as the right winger. Obviously, I'm not saying that that's where I want to see him, but when he has played in that position, I think that's when he's looked the best. Shout out to Nigeria. I think that's when he has looked the best, but honestly, I don't like seeing Gressel. But I ask you this, once everybody's healthy, because it hasn't happened yet, we haven't had everybody be healthy at the same time. So that's why Gressel has continued to play. He's literally the only player that hasn't missed a game. But once everybody's healthy, you have Taylor, Suarez, and Messi up top. You have in the back, he's not playing right back. You have Weigand for that. Left back, you have Alba. You have Freire and Aviles. Calendar, obviously. And in the midfield, if they're all healthy, Gomez, Busquets, and Redondo. At that point, he's finally not starting, right? When everybody is healthy, he is no longer a starter.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
At that point, there's no way. I mean, unless Robert Taylor gets the cane.
And they're going to put Gressel's biggest attribute is his crossing. He can't cross from the left side. Right, he can't cross from the left side because he's right-footed. So he would have to go ahead and kind of work his way into the pitch. It wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. You would take away his best attribute.
Robert Taylor is not a left-footed player, I guess, because he's a little bit more versatile with the ball,
maybe? Right, but he works the ball in.
Yeah,
like he works the ball in, and that way Jordi Alba or Negri can kind of do that overlapping run, and he can hit them with a pass when they overlap, or he can go for that strike where he's cutting into the right side and then uses his right foot to curl it into the top left. Like, it's different when you're playing left wing. But when your biggest attribute is how you cross because you can't finish, then I don't see how he can go ahead and play there.
And Adam Andrews is saying, laugh out loud, Danny, you fool. Nope, he still starts. I added some of that for you on audio.
Absolutely impossible. There's no way. Who are you going to take out?
And this is amazing. Mike V says Gressel equals Lego character.
I can see it.
He does look like a Lego character.
I can see it. All right. So at that point, we were up. At that point, we drew 1-1. And then we go into halftime, 1-1. How are you feeling at half?
I mean, we're going to cook them.
I wasn't feeling like we were going to cook.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Half the team ate clam chowder that was old as hell or from some fucking underground tunnel area. Like, there's no way they were going to make it the whole game and be better.
No, I didn't think that we would lose. But I thought that if we won, because they were playing that low block, that we would struggle to get that second goal so that we might win 2-1. Or that we would just have a really frustrating result of a 1-1 draw. Like that's and I'm not saying that that's what, like, if I would have had to put money on it, I probably wouldn't have picked the draw. I probably would have picked us to win anyway. Yeah. But I was worried, like, I hope this is one of those frustrating games where we get on here and we're like, we should have won that game. That was a disappointing draw. We had a couple chances. We didn't convert. So I was worried about that. But luckily, that wasn't the case.
No, absolutely not. We got back onto the pitch. And same lineup that started, right? No changes were made after that. We end up starting, and we actually score on the 67th minute, which is...
After Campana came off.
Which is, yeah, I was going to mention that. After Campana decides to finally come off...
He didn't decide.
That is, well, I mean, of course he didn't decide. If it was up to him, he would have stayed playing. Mm-hmm. That was on the 63rd or 64th minute. And that's another thing, Danny. Like, look at that. 3-4 minutes later, you guys, I mean, come on. How bad do you feel, Campana?
I feel horrible for Campana.
And Alejandro is here with a super slam, says, I can see Messi doing an interview with Danny and Chris in the future. We are number one. Thank you, Alejandro.
I appreciate that. We'd be lucky if one day we get Ulloa.
Yeah. I'll take Ulloa.
I wouldn't.
What? You wouldn't take Ulloa? You're a fucking hater, bro.
Bro, what? I've told you already. Like, Chris is like, yo, let's try to get a player. I'm like, what are we going to get a player for? What are they going to tell us that, like...
Well, you...
I hate listening to player, like, podcasts and interviews because they don't say anything. It's all coach talk. They don't give you anything cliches. because they can't get in trouble, right? So they have to be very careful what they say. So it's not fun. Now, if Messi wanted to talk, hey, yeah, you tell us what you want to talk about, Messi. But, like, in all actuality, we'd never get Messi, obviously. Like, but I'm saying, like, what are you gonna ask them? What would be your number one question, Chris?
You think he'd answer horizontal or vertical sandwich? Oh, I mean,
I'm sure we can. Yeah, I'm sure we can have fun with them like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. But you like
do that.
But we're not going to do
that. That shows personality. Okay. That shows personality. So, and then that'll get him comfortable, and then we could be like, Messi, do you hate everybody from Portugal?
Well, first of all, we're not going to talk to Messi. I'm still talking to Ulloa here. But
oh, my God. Ulloa is retired. He would tell us stuff. I would hope at least a couple nuggets.
Maybe. You know who I've considered trying to contact? Breck Shea, just because everybody loves him. Yeah, retired players are. So I've considered asking Breck Shea. But I haven't reached out to him.
And Jordi Alba is a fun guy. Yes.
He is. I mean, yes. Once they're retired, it's a lot better for sure.
Yeah.
All right. So after that, Campana goes off. Luis Suarez comes on. And then Sergio Busquets hits with the most beautifully timed through ball. It was so perfectly timed that when the camera like switches off to Messi receiving the ball, I was almost 100% sure it was offside. Like the fact that he turned around, he didn't like run to celebrate. Yeah, he kind of just turned around and did one of these and then looked to the sideline. I was like, it's offside. It's offside for sure. Yeah. And I was really surprised. And when they showed it back, I was like, man, what timing.
Perfect.
What perfect. Effing timing. That was beautiful, man. Like what we're getting to see and enjoy as Inter Miami fans, like make sure you take it all in. Because even if we end up being a really good club and we win multiple titles in the future, what you're getting to watch right now on the pitch, you're never going to get to see again. The greatness that we're watching right now, it's just not going to be repeated. Make sure you enjoy it all.
Listen, there's something that the broadcast team did mention is that these guys are class. Like, class never goes away. Like the experience and the type of way that they play is something that you do have to appreciate, guys. I mean, unless you want to go back to what we were before, sell, you know, never give you can't even be able to give your tickets away, right? And
with that new stadium, that's never happen again.
And then meet players at Burger King.
They never met anybody at Burger King.
But I mean, I know that.
But they did meet people at Publix.
Yeah, Publix, fucking Dunkin' Donuts. Like, get out of here.
All right.
Class is permanent, yes. And let me tell you, Busquets, now that we're talking on the subject of Busquets, guys, what in the world? He literally was from the back point on the defense, playing mid-center back, running all the way up past Campana, pressing. Did you see that?
I didn't notice that, no.
Oh, what? Chat, you guys have to mention this. guys, chat, if you guys saw this during the game, I literally saw so many times. Busquets was one of the top three people with the most miles ran in the whole game.
Biggest win today was zero injuries.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, BR1. That is money in the bank.
I did not see Busquets doing that. No.
Oh, my God. There were so many times in the game where Busquets was chasing up, pressing himself. His heat map, look, Swarm is mentioning it. His heat map was all over. Emmanuel saying Busquets was everywhere, right? Stancy saying I saw it. Listen, I'm telling you right now, Danny, you got to look back at the game.
If you tell me what minute it was, I'm not going to watch the whole game over.
No, it wasn't.
Maybe the second half.
I can't even tell you. No, it was the whole game. I can't even tell you a minute because constantly he was running up and pressing.
No, I would have noticed that. He didn't do it constantly.
Yeah, pressing? I mean, obviously he's not up there like with Campana, but like okay. You would see him generating a press all the time. And then Soccer Daddy is saying his heat map. Look it up, Danny. You like looking at heat maps and fucking numbers and
I would put up the heat map, but the last time I did that, we got in trouble.
Yeah.
You gave us a little pow pow for that heat map. And for those of you that are longtime viewers, you know what heat map I'm talking about, the one I put up after the Orlando game.
Yeah.
YouTube hit me up. We got a little pow pow for that, so I can't put that up anymore.
Yes. And Alejandro is mentioning Boosie was amazing. He was running everywhere. Yes. I mean, look, Rome is mentioning it too, Danny. He pressed close to the opponent box. And the worst part is when I saw him running so much, I thought to myself, Boosie, you're on turf, my guy.
I know, this is not the play.
You need to calm down with the amount that you're running. Like, I don't want to see you just crumble like a Lego man. And I was very scared. Skrilla is mentioning Orlando fans probably reported y'all. Probably.
I wouldn't be surprised. That was messed up.
Yeah, and Mr. Krabs is saying, I thought Danny was going to show the pee-pee map.
That's the one right there. That's the one, but no. I don't want to get pow-pow from the YouTube again, so I will keep I will keep that to Twitter. Twitter, apparently it's okay.
Keep that in the holster.
Yeah.
Did you find the heat map?
I'm looking for it.
So while you look at that, I'll go ahead and I guess we'll talk a little bit about the rest of the you want to get off of this second goal with Messi so far?
Yeah. Go ahead, move on.
Okay, all right. So after that, we end up, I think it was a couple subs. After that, I think, Revolution subbed in a couple people. Finally, Julian Gressel gets subbed out. Ben Krem comes in. Same minute, Matias Rojas makes his debut. And Robert Taylor comes out of the game, which is good because, you know, Robert Taylor, you don't want to press him too much. He just came back from an injury. So that was around, what was that? The 70, I'm looking it up right here, the 75th minute. And then later on, we're getting into our bag. And then Ben Krem ends up getting a goal on the 83rd minute. Now, the thing about this goal, so we're going to be able to talk a little bit about just about the Ben Krem goal. We're going to be able to talk about Matias Rojas. We're going to be able to talk about Ben Krem. We're going to be able to talk about Gressel. We're going to be able to talk about Luis Suarez. Like, this goal in itself gives us so many touch points to be able to talk about because of the simple fact that you had Matias Rojas making his debut, goes full-blown Paraguayan.
Mm-hmm.
Makes the sliding tackle to keep the ball in, crosses this like a low cross, Messi bodies it, right? Misses it, and then Ben Krem ends up just putting it in the back of the net. So where do you want to go here? Do you want to talk about Gressel first because he got off the field first? You want to talk about Rojas? Or do you want to go over this heat map real quick?
If you want to go over the heat map, I found the heat map for Busquets. And here it is. This is the heat map. So obviously he was working his way box to box. He was dominating that midfield. Now, this is interesting because before today, and obviously New England isn't a very good team and they weren't pressing us very much. So it's a little different from what we've seen the last few weeks. But the last few weeks, he's been playing so far back that it was almost like he was playing as a third center back. He was helping with the distribution whenever we were getting pressed to work out of it. He was staying back to make sure that we didn't get beat on the counter. So his heat maps and maybe I'll pull that up for Monday's show. I'm not going to start looking at it now, but I'm sure that the last few games, his heat map would show that he's staying a little further back, right? Because this goes from right to left, offensively working from right to left. But like you could see, yeah, he was all over the place, and especially in the midfield, box to box almost. So I definitely see what everybody was talking about.
Well, like, and I saw a better heat map during the broadcast. We'll probably try to find it for you guys, and then we'll have it up on Monday's show. But he was all over the place. He was all over the place. Mm-hmm. One of the most active players on the field, and that's very surprising because Busquets is a guy that works with his head, not with his back. So, but in this game, he was putting in the work. He was out there running everywhere, super active.
And if anybody was wondering where I got that heat map, it's on Who Scored. I want to make sure I give them credit. Who Scored that
now? Mr. Krabs is asking, how is Chris not livid yet seeing all these Paraguayans? I'm not livid. Paraguayans are cool people, bro. Mm-hmm. Go with it. I'm good with it. So Gressel, right? Gressel gets off the field. What did you think of Gressel's performance? I mean, do you want to talk about Campana, or we'll save that?
Oh, we could go Gressel first. Gressel, I thought he had a couple of giveaways in the midfield like he usually does, which is why I don't like seeing him in the midfield. He had one beautiful cross to Luis Suarez, to Robert Taylor on the move. Yeah. Which it hit Robert Taylor almost so perfect that he had a hard time controlling it. I think because he wasn't expecting it to hit him on his right foot as he was running. But outside of that, he had some opportunities at scoring opportunities, which he didn't capitalize on. His finishing is absolutely horrible. There was a give and go between Robert Taylor and Gressel, where Gressel could have made a run, and he didn't make the run. I thought Robert Taylor looked like he was frustrated with him. Gressel, to me, is the games where I say I didn't notice him messing up are the ones that I'm happiest. So it's not because he does anything very well. It's when he doesn't when he doesn't mess up. So, you know, sometimes we're like, oh, that guy was like invisible today. If you tell me that about Gressel, I'm like, all right, well, good.
At least we're winning that game.
Right, because when I notice him, it's usually not because he's doing anything great. That cross was beautiful.
Yes.
But that was about it. In my opinion,
I thought that he did absolutely nothing but like two crosses. His defense was suspect. He I guess was a little active on the side. I mean, in terms of like his offense, he just did a couple crosses. He's trying to do the little tiki-taka stuff, but it's just not working for him. Like, it just doesn't seem like he's the kind of player that kind of falls into the whole tiki-taka system. Like, it just doesn't seem like he's that kind of player.
Yeah.
And he did play on turf in Atlanta. Sorry, I'll bring up that message again.
Miami got the ball stolen 11 times. That's a scary stat. They also missed 76 passes. Yeah.
That's big. Mm-hmm. That's big. I mean, look, like it's like what Danny said. If he is unnoticed in the game, we're typically winning that game. The moment that you really notice how bad he is, I'm pretty sure we lost that game.
The only game that I remember him doing very well, and I was like, oh, he had a good game, was the Orlando game. I thought he played well.
That was early.
Yeah, that was early. He had that very first assist to Suarez, which was a beautiful low cross. But outside of that, man, I don't – hopefully Kremaki starts over him soon, which I doubt, honestly.
Well, and not only because Gressel is a Tata guy, but because Ben Krem is getting off of an injury. And then Tag is here mentioning, how about the team defense as a whole? Revs couldn't do anything after their goal. I thought that the defense overall played pretty well. I think Negri is a pretty good defender, especially in comparison to like Noah Allen, obviously. He has more experience.
And I don't want to take away from the defense played well. It is what it is. Yeah. But New England also sucks.
Yes.
Like, they shouldn't have gotten that first goal. That first goal was just, you know.
It was a blunder.
Luck. It was a blunder. It was luck for them. Like, it shouldn't have happened. That team just isn't good. So, all in all, yes, we played well on defense. But also is because they just are very, very bad. In the first half, we gave up one shot, which was that one. We held possession 61% of the time. Our passes, 90% accuracy on passes, theirs was 83. I mean, did they even have a corner? They had no corner kicks, nothing, nothing, nothing in the first half. And in the second half, once we scored that second goal, then they started opening up a little bit. They're like, all right, F it. We have to try to at least get a draw out of this. And then they started attacking a little more, pressing a little more, and opening themselves up to the counter a little more. And that's when they got six shots in the second half, two corner kicks. But, you know, that team just isn't good.
So we talked about Gressel. We talked about Campana. And obviously Robert Taylor, we talked about. He got off the field. Now let's talk about how this goal became, with Cremaschi putting it in the back of the net, where you have Matias Rojas getting that sliding tackle, keeping it in, passing it to Messi. Messi misses, which was a beautiful block by their goalie, by the way.
Yeah, he should have had a
beautiful block. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Ben Krem just burying it in the back of the net, which I'm super happy for him. And if you notice,
by the way, if that's Gressel, it gets blocked because the goalie did a good job bouncing back up and going for the block. But Cremaschi put it in the very corner right by that post where it's like the only place the goalie wouldn't have gotten it. But mm-hmm. I don't think Gressel or like, could you imagine Lassiter taking that shot? It would have hit the goalie in the head. Like he usually
probably would have hit him in his pocket.
Yeah, so I understand that it was a tap-in, but give him a little bit of credit because he put it in the very corner where the goalie could not get it. Because the goalie recovered quickly after he blocked that Messi shot, and he had a good reach out to try to block that second one, but Cremaschi buried it right where he couldn't get to. So anybody else that goes and just blasts it into the back of the net without any accuracy, that might get blocked.
Give some respect to Lassiter, Danny. He scored a goal last week, okay? Give some respect to Ariel Lassiter, all right? And it was an assist off of Joseph Martinez. Let's have some respect here. He's the son of a good player as well.
All right, go ahead. Keep going with your goal talk.
So, Matias Rojas with the steal. What did you think about his play in this game, obviously, with one of the bigger plays that he made in the game, coming off the bench at the 75th minute. So he had a good solid 15-plus minutes this game. First time appearing in the pink jersey for us. And there was a lot of hoopla behind him. I mean, we've been hearing his name for months, essentially, no? Yeah. So now you finally got to see Diego Gomez 2.0. So, and what did you think of him? Guys in the chat, chime in. Good or bad, if you guys want to. What did you think of him? I thought that he was super solid.
I thought he was solid. Yeah, he hasn't stood out.
Didn't do anything risky.
Right. He didn't stand out like, oh my god, we got another one. Like, but I thought he was solid. I thought he was solid. Obviously, with that one play that he created where he didn't give up on the ball, it looked like Diego Gomez reincarnated. You were like, oh, okay, like the motor on him. So in the little bit that we saw, I have high hopes now. In his old team, Corinthians in Brazil, he wasn't great.
He wasn't happy either.
He wasn't happy. That's a good point. So we'll see.
Mr. Krabs, you need to stop it before people really believe that I do not like Paraguayans. It's already bad enough that everybody thinks that Danny and I are the ones that hate Messi the most.
All right.
And Skrill is saying Rojas shows some good flash. Guys, the one thing that I liked about this, just pile it on, Mr. Krabs. Just do it. Just pile it on. The one thing that I liked about him is he didn't do anything risky this game, right? Mm-hmm. And he made a pretty big contribution to a game where he played very little amount of minutes.
That was a goal kick.
Yeah.
He created that third goal.
Yeah. Yeah. That was all him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because they would have let him
over. Yeah, that plays over if he doesn't do that.
Yes. So, I mean, Parker in the Philippines, come on. Come on. Literally, Danny has Messi everywhere. Behind me,
in my house.
Ghost, I have Ghost Messi behind me. You don't see him.
See him.
Okay. And Mr. Krabs is saying that he agrees that Inter Miami needs a Cuban on this team. I do think that they should get Cubans and Colombians, at least one or two, just to sell tickets. Like, just to bring in more permanent fandom.
Give me Cucho.
So, and here I am dropping racist remarks against Paraguayans. Just bring it. Look at this, Alejandro. Yeah, I know you guys are just trolling. It's funny. It's funny. Man, Bring it, boys.
People in audio think that you do hate him. All right, and then the final quote. Luis Suarez was on the pitch for what? Was it
7.5 seconds?
Like 25 minutes, and he got on the score sheet. And you know, I think that makes Campana look worse, man. It makes Campana look worse.
It's just so bad, man. Mm-hmm. It's just so bad. I feel so bad for Campana, man. Like, he can't catch a break. He can't catch a break at all.
Florida man, absolutely not.
Yeah, I do that.
You do? Okay.
Sue!
All right. Who do you think had the most interceptions defensively on this team today?
The most interceptions?
Mm-hmm. Defensively.
Like, made interceptions or recovered interceptions?
No, they intercepted, like, the ball.
Intercepted the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Weigand.
No. It was Negri. Had 5 interceptions. Negri. Yeah.
Well, listen, a lot of people hate on him. Yes. He's one of my favorites. He's one of my favorites for sure. You know, he goes unnoticed because obviously before when he was here, when Phil Neville was here, we didn't have any of the big four, right?
But he was our left winger, even though he played left back.
Yeah, but now he gets overshadowed, guys. So, like, what do you expect? Look, other people are actually mentioning Chelo as well.
No, Chelo was actually, I think, second. I'll go back. Hold on. Let me check. Chelo was, no, he was fourth. There was Negri and Aviles and Freire with 3 and then Weigand with 2.
And Ty Manin is asking, do you guys know the Barcelona anthem? I do not. I don't know the Barcelona anthem, guys, unfortunately.
Now, this was a big weakness for Inter Miami in the past. And I remember I used to bring it up last season all the time, even the year before that, I think. Headed clearances. The leader on the team or leader in the game was Freire with 3 headed clearances. We didn't have anybody that could clear the ball before this year.
This is it right here. Okay. I do love left backs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'll tell you one thing. And Mike V is saying Chelo made Boateng disappear. Nobody here. Let's just get this cleared right now. No one here misses Yedlin anymore, right? Like, nobody, except Callender, maybe.
Callender, for sure.
But no one in the fan base is missing Yedlin at this moment, right?
Yeah. Nope.
No, we're not gasbagging yet, Mr. Krabs, because...
We're getting there.
We're getting there soon, okay? But that's when the best stuff happens, okay? So... Well,
that was the last goal.
Well, that was the last goal. But, like, again, you know, when it comes to Luis Suarez, I feel so bad for Campana because Campana has been given opportunities throughout a lot of the time that he's been with this team. You know, Higuain went down. He had opportunities. They tried to put them both together. Didn't mesh well. Then all of a sudden we get Pozuelo. Pozuelo links up with Higuain perfectly. Campana's playing the second fiddle, right? Then Messi comes in.
And Joseph
Then Joseph is going to take it, and he's playing the second fiddle again. Joseph's gone. You think Campana's in the saddle. They said, nope, we're bringing in Luis Suarez, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Again, plays second fiddle. Never has the opportunity. So, no. Boston. I wish.
He didn't make the best of his opportunities. Like, that's like... It is what it is. When you have your chances, you can feel bad for him all you want. I feel bad for him. I wanted Campana to be that guy. But he's just not showing up when he has a chance. And Tony Ax is saying offensively, Chelo could do more. Chelo's on the right side. that right side has to be dominated by Gressel, which the only thing he could do is cross. So keep him on the right side so he can cross it. And then Messi, right? Even though Messi's positionless, like we say, but I mean, on the right side, don't expect too much offensive production from the left, right back.
I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I'll tell you, I feel really bad for Campana. He's had a lot of opportunities. He's played with some really good strikers. He's been able to learn from some really good strikers. So,
what has he learned? What did he show us today that he's learned?
I mean, I don't know if he's shown us what he's learned because he can't kick with his right foot, apparently. But he's had to have learned something, no? You play with Higuain. You play with Joseph Martinez. You play with Luis Suarez. And Messi.
Okay, but he's come on, and he got the start today. He had almost 65 minutes to do something.
Listen, Alejandro, I did a lot of other stuff this week, too. I just haven't. Look, Messi's back there. He's a ghost, though. Okay.
All right. So we are now 6-3-2. And we're 11 games in, and we've literally only lost two games. The Red Bull game, which Messi did not play. Actually, the Montreal game, he didn't play either. Messi didn't play in the two losses. We don't lose when Messi plays. So next week, big game against the Red Bulls. We'll be obviously previewing that at some point this week with a Red Bulls guest and be talking about that. On Monday, we'll be on here, and I'll be sure to have some more stats. I kind of what I wanted to do on Monday is I wanted to predict when Messi becomes the all-time scorer in Inter Miami franchise history. So I kind of want to have that little fun game on Monday. I want us to pick a date, like a game, like this game. He's going to become the all-time scorer in Inter Miami history, right? Like for like around the world, and even for Messi himself, he might not even realize it when it happens. But for us, it might be a big deal. I mean, he's going to take that title, and who knows how many goals he's going to end up scoring. So I think it's going to be pretty cool. And for everybody saying Messi MVP, I have absolutely no doubt that he's going to end up being the MVP this year of the league. Absolutely. How you feeling after the game, Chris?
I feel great. I mean, obviously, we're playing against the worst in our conference. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you should be feeling great. Mm-hmm. We should be feeling great. If you don't feel great playing the worst in our conference, walking away with a 4-1 win, then there's a problem, especially when half of them ate bad clam chowder.
Yeah.
What I do want to see is a good game against the Red Bulls. If we see a solid game against the Red Bulls, especially how we got thrashed in the rain in New Jersey, that would answer some pretty important questions.
And then to that point, let me just update everybody on that. I'll have the graphic on Monday. But just so everybody knows, we are still in first place in the Eastern Conference. I want to say in the league with 21 points. So we're number one in the Supporters Shield. We have one game over just about everybody except for Salt Lake. And then Cincinnati is in second in the East with 18 points, and the Red Bulls in third place with 17 points. The Red Bulls have – but you know what? The Red Bulls, of the 10 games that they've played, they've drawn half of them, five of them. They have 4 goals for, but 10 goals against. Mm-hmm. Their goal differential is only 4.
Yeah.
We're going to kick their ass. But whatever, we'll get into that this week.
Yeah.
And by the way, for those of you that actually make it out to the stadium and actually go to the games, because we know a lot of people don't, because you either live in other places or you started a podcast and you don't care about the team, so you don't go to the games. Chris is actually going to be celebrating his birthday next Saturday. So next Saturday, big game against the Red Bulls, and it's Chris's birthday on the same day. So that should be
fun. Come say happy birthday. You see me? Wish me a happy birthday, please.
We should figure something out. Something out to do next Saturday at the game. But that's next Saturday. Anything else that you would like to cover before we head out of here on this Saturday night? We're an hour and 5 minutes in.
Well, apparently people are catching strays. Shots are fired. And thank you guys for the little things, whatever they are, the emojis. Yes, it's not my 60th birthday, Mr. Krabs. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and it's not my 70th either, Gel. No. 90th birthday. I mean, at this point, like, just put me in the grave, guys.
145.
Yeah.
So, everybody's guessing in the 40s, so at least they're close.
But that, look at this. This is 48, dude. What? Not even 40 yet, guys.
Well, I'm not gonna put his age out there. Chris can put it out there if he wants. I'm not gonna do that to him. But you're getting close. I'll tell you that, guys. I'll tell you that you guys are getting close.
That's a good In Sync song, right?
Yeah, exactly. In Sync, but think of another one.
It's gonna be May. That's why.
You know what my favorite thing about Chris's birthday is? Is that everywhere, everybody's celebrating Star Wars Day on Chris's birthday.
Oh God, that's awful. That's one of the worst things.
May the 4th. Yeah. So that's one of my favorite things. All right, Chris, any final words before we head out of here?
That's it. Monday Red Bulls preview, guys. Come with it. Come with it. It's gonna be a fun time, guys.
Yeah, and then for those of you that are Heat fans, rough loss today. We'll be on recording the Battered Heat Fan Show tomorrow night. So if you haven't already, check out Battered Heat Fans, subscribe, and watch us tomorrow night while we have a depressing show. But we'll see.
Yes.
And happy early birthday to Eden. All right. If you are listening on audio, we appreciate you listening all the way to the end. Please leave us 5-star comment, review, all that other good stuff. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you for watching all the way to the end. Please like, subscribe, share, tell your friends. And for those of you in the chat, as always, we appreciate you hanging out with us for the last hour and 6 minutes. As always, you guys are the best part of the show. If anybody wants any Inter Miami gear or any Miami Heat, whatever gear, shopbatterfans.com. If you're living, actually, you can find those on Etsy also. And so for the person that was from Norway, check us out on Etsy. I think that Etsy might give us the option to ship out there. If not, hit me up and I'll figure out how to do it from the website.
Yeah, I think they reached out, so we'll see.
Yeah, all right. So and I think that's about it. On Monday we will be back, so we'll talk some stats, give some predictions about when Messi finally breaks that goal record, and we'll just have some fun. So we'll catch you guys on Monday night and 9 o'clock, and then at 10 o'clock in Spanish. So until the next one, have a good one.